Okay. Welcome back. There is so much going on again. It's the same story every day. It's going to continue this way for a while. Dr. Henry Nyman is with us this hour for our nightly report on the coronavirus impact on this country and on the planet. We're watching how it works. This is a story that now is beginning to take a little bit of focus, Henry, on the Trump-Kushner goings-on. And I mean both Kushners. Ivanka now has been given credit by Donald for creating 10% of all the jobs, 15 million jobs in America. Meanwhile, Jerry and his shenanigans with the supply chain is being looked at very critically by a number of people as being involved with misdirecting, redirecting, and appropriating shipments going to 8 or 9 states are complaining about Jerry's handling of supplies that they had, they say, already completely arranged to have delivered to their states. They're gone. And then Trump and the Pentagon, he's the commander-in-chief, ordered the U.S. troops to make their own masks out of T-shirts. Put out a video, which I have up, showing them how to cut a T-shirt up and make a face mask with it. And today, the Kushner-Trump administration sent 1 million masks to Israel. So to hell with the American soldiers. Let them eat T-shirts. All right. We have a lot to talk about, so let's jump right in. Welcome back.
Okay, Jeff. It's good to be back. And there is... you know, a lot of mismanagement going on with the pandemic, and it's having predictable results. And I thought I'd go over a little bit some of the numbers to give an update.
Good.
And get a little bit of a clue on what they're pointing towards. I actually didn't get a chance to hear today's update, but I think they're starting to come up with a plan on getting people back to work, which
I can tell you what it is. They said people who are already exposed but are asymptomatic can go back to work, like health care workers who have been off the job because they were exposed.
Yeah, so that's going to not make that big of an impact. It's I have a feeling they're going to try to... get the whole population back to work. And Trump put out a tweet about 11 o'clock this morning that kind of was implying that. And that everybody can kind of, we'll forget about the pandemic. He thinks that if you don't, well, here's a tweet. Once we open up our great country, and it will be sooner rather than later, the horror of the invisible enemy, except for those that sadly lost a family member or friend, must be quickly forgotten. Our economy will boom, perhaps like never before. Let's see, 1, 2, 3 exclamation marks.
Uh-huh.
So he's saying, forget about it. It's not a problem.
Well, and he's going to will it to vanish. Interesting.
Exactly, exactly. Just like magically it's going to disappear in April, then he's just going to say, don't pay any attention and it'll go away. So anyway, that was kind of the clue for the day. And and apparently he's looking to blame WHO. There's always this projection that, we're... Mm-hmm. If he's to blame, then he's going to find somebody else to blame.
He's going to cut really their funding.
It's always somebody else's fault. So anyway, the numbers kind of highlight why this is a problem. The situation, well, some of the numbers really look like projects to do the social distancing is having an effect, and not doing that makes things significantly worse. And the best example is looking like will be the UK. the numbers for today just on the new deaths indicate that Spain still got issues. They had 880 new deaths today, but it looks like Italy might actually be getting it a little bit under control. They only had 542 today. France also looks like it's getting out of control. They had 541 today. They had gotten above 1,000. But the one that is big indicator is the UK. They had 938 deaths today. And so they're approaching 1,000, and they've only got 7,000 total. So, you know, this was, well over 10% of their total happened in one day today.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I think that those numbers will continue high, and this was kind of due to their plan to just let the virus run its course. And this was what the projections were for the U.S., that if you don't do anything, that it's going to be much worse, and the virus is going to spread, it's going to expand exponentially, and the number of dead will be significantly higher than if you do some work at limiting the spread of the virus. And so these numbers that came out today in Europe kind of suggest that their efforts to limit the virus is starting to have an effect, whereas the UK is not. Now, of course, all of the numbers I read you were below 1,000, and the U.S. is in a league of its own. It is today, again, was close to 2,000 deaths alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so the U.S. has pretty much caught Spain. The U.S. and Spain both have a total of just under 15,000 deaths. And the only one in front of them is Italy, which has 17,700 or so. And so the U.S. is 2,700 behind, and the U.S. is coming up with about 1,000 to 1,500 more than Italy each day. So the U.S. will move into the number one position on deaths in a couple of days. This weekend, it'll catch Italy. And then it's not just that it's on the path to become the next Italy. It's going to leave Italy in the dust. And we'll outpace Italy by 1,500 deaths per day. And we'll soon take the lead and pull away very quickly. There's no other country that's going to come close to the U.S. on deaths. And there's no other country that's going to come close to the U.S. on cases today. The U.S. had over 32,000 cases today alone.
Today.
And today alone, 32,000. And the closest country to the U.S. today was Spain, that had 7,000. So Spain had 7,600. The U.S. has 32,400. So we're 25,000 more, a net 25,000 more cases than Spain. And that is, you know, the example of this mismanagement. The U.S. is up to 433,000 cases. Mm-hmm. And the closest is Spain, which has got 148. So we're
almost not even close.
Three times Spain. We've got almost 450,000. We've got triple what they have. And we pull away every day. I mean, we're doing 25,000 more than them on a daily basis.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like, you know, well, maybe they'll close the gap in the next month and they won't. In the next month, you know, at the rate we're going, 25,000 a day, you know, will be hundreds of thousands. We'll be a half a million in front of them in another month. So
wow.
The fact that the U.S. could do this poorly
mm-hmm.
On a pandemic that began in China. And so we're about as far away from China as you can get. You know, Europe's closer to China. Asia's certainly closer to China. Australia's closer to China. Russia's close to shares a border with China. And we're across the ocean. And
look how we're doing.
Mm. Are well in front of anybody in the world. Like I said, pretty soon we'll have as many cases as the rest of the world combined at the rate that we're going. So all by ourselves, we'll beat out everybody else in the world on reported cases. And like I say, we'll be number one on deaths, you know, getting as many as everybody in the rest of the world. It's going to be a little bit more difficult than cases. But mm-hmm. these cases are just going through the roof. And there's really no reason for that other than gross mismanagement. And this does trace in part to the version of the virus that showed up in Italy, because that started spreading in Europe in February, George. You know, actually, it was on the 17th anniversary of the checking in at the Metropole Hotel. So it was February 21st. Mm-hmm. And it was clear that the virus was starting to spread in a number of countries in Europe at the time. There really wasn't all that much activity in Europe. And it was emanating from Italy. And then all these other countries in Africa and South America and Mexico and Canada all started reporting cases from Italy, except for the U.S. And the U.S. wasn't reporting any cases from Italy because they weren't testing any cases from Italy. They were only testing cases from China. Uh-huh. So if you didn't come from China, then, you know, you were not of interest. You know, you had some upper respiratory tract infection, had nothing to do with COVID. There was no reason to test. And so there was no effort to control those people. Those people arrived in the U.S. They had symptoms. They couldn't get tested. Nobody was doing any contact tracing. Nobody was doing anything. The virus was just spreading rampantly. And at mm-hmm. that time, there were no limitations. That this was in, well, it would have been before February. I mean, it was starting to show up in these other countries in February, but that was because they had just started testing. It had been coming from Italy prior to that, but they just started looking at it in late February, and the U.S. wasn't even doing that. And by the time Trump said, "Oh, we're going to limit," people from Europe from coming to the U.S. Mm-hmm. Number one, they weren't really limiting U.S. tourists who was bringing the virus. They were limiting European nationals, and that's not who was bringing the virus over. It was people from the U.S. that went over there for a ski trip, or they went to Europe for some educational, event, and then they got infected and came back to the U.S.
Right.
And essentially seeded the East Coast. And that's why, New York is so dramatic, is because they are 90% of the cases in, over 90% of the cases in New York are the Italian strain. I mean, that strain has even invaded the Bronx Zoo. They've got these large cats that are positive, and the sequence from a 4-year-old female tiger was released a couple of days ago, and it is the Italian strain.
Is it? So it's a total dead clone, a ringer of the Italian strain. That's what they've got.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. That's exactly what this. I mean, they only did the sequence on one, but they tested several lions and cats. And this was one of the, lions and tigers. So I mean, this is one of the tigers, the 4-year-old female tiger. And it was collected by the Bronx Zoological Society or something along those lines. The agency that collected the samples was in the Bronx. So I'm sure it's from the Bronx too. And the sequence was released, as you said, 2 days ago. I mean, it's a full sequence. There's no ambiguity. It's definitely the same Italian strain that's circulating crazy in the people in New York. And so that's kind of what led to the spread. And that's why, the East Coast is doing so much, worse than the West Coast, because the West Coast got the version of the virus, which was, had that ORF8 mutation.
That's
and that
one
doesn't seem to be causing that much, damage to humans. It's there and is definitely around, but it seems to be more easily controlled. And as a result, California and Washington State don't have the out of control spread like is seen by New York and New Jersey.
Okay. All right. I got a good question here. The ORF8 strain, we'll call it, and the Italian strain. Let's say person X has Italian, person Y has ORF8. They both survive. They both will have antibodies. Will their antibodies be able to defend against both the Italian and the ORF8, or just for the one that they were exposed to?
Because the differences aren't that great. The Italian strain does have a change in the spike gene. It's a single amino acid change. And what the significance that is for the immune system, isn't clear. It's conceivable it would have an effect, but in all likelihood, the sequence of the spike gene is almost identical in both of those strains, and it's very similar to the original sequence. So it's unlikely that the immune response is going to have a big difference to between these two as they're currently constituted. But they are evolving, and there's some examples now, a sequence out of Moscow, and there's a few sequences in the U.S. that look like they're recombinants between the Italian strain and then the one that showed up in Iran, so those two seem to be mixing and matching, and what'll end up happening is it's all due to selection pressure. I mean, that's the biggest driver. That if there is a difference, if a virus pops up that, the antibodies from the current strain don't react well, then that virus will have a distinct advantage because it'll be able to infect people that have already been infected. And eventually the earlier strain will affect enough people that it'll limit its ability to spread because of those in the general area will already have immunity and it won't be able to infect them. Whereas the new version will be able to swoop in and infect those people that had been infected before.
Okay.
And pretty soon it will become dominant. And so once there's selection pressure, then new versions can become very common very quickly because they will have a distinct competitive edge over the earlier version. And that's one of the reasons why the progress of these pandemics, these waves, end up having the second wave more deadly than the first wave, because the first wave, people kind of make some antibodies to it, and it doesn't really spread that easily initially, and so they have milder disease. And then in the interim, you know, between the spring and the fall, a new version kind of pops up, and it's resistant to the antibodies in the first strain, and then it kind of swoops in, and it can spread very quickly because it's had time to adapt. So it adapts to the human population, and it isn't recognized by those that were infected in the spring, and then it can kind of come and spread quickly and be much more virulent. And that's why there's always concern that the first one is called a herald wave. It just kind of heralds the upcoming pandemic. And it's really the fall version, and influenza anyway, that is the more deadly version. And the concern is that something similar will happen with SARS-CoV-2. Now it's not entirely clear that it's going to drop out over the summer. The fact that England is kind of bouncing back up kind of discounts that. That was one of the reasons I thought it was going down for the summer, was that the UK, for one day there anyway, had lower numbers, and it looked like maybe everything was starting to go down. But now the UK has bounced back, so it's kind of like that one day was an anomaly. And it's really going up there, and there's some new projections that things will be very bad in the UK, and the UK will be the example of what happens if you don't try to get the virus under control by limiting movement and interactions and do something to prevent the virus from just, you know, spreading wildly, because people go to large, you know, events where there's close contact and the virus, you know, does transmit fairly easily. And so the reason it's going to continue to be a problem in the U.S. was clear from some of the other data that happened today in the United States. New York may be flattening out the curve, and it may be at the apex, and maybe has already hit the apex, because there's some reduction in new admissions. But the deaths are a lagging indicator. And yesterday, New York set an all-time high, or I think they had 712 or something, they had a little over 700. And I think it might have been 730. And then today is 779. So today was an all-time high on death. It was higher than yesterday, which was an all-time high. And New Jersey's doing the same thing. They had 272 deaths just today. And then Michigan had 114 today. And then a bunch of other ones had reasonably good amounts. Louisiana had 70 deaths today. Massachusetts had 77. Pennsylvania had 70. Illinois had 82. Connecticut had 58. So those are mostly East Coast states. And, you know, I know that New York has got the Italian strain. I would assume New Jersey does. And
logical assumption, for sure. Yeah.
And there's some sequence data from Connecticut that indicates that it's probably not quite as high a frequency as New York, but Connecticut is also dominated by that strain. And that probably, you know, just goes up and down the coast. So it is probably what accounts for the large number of deaths in Massachusetts. It would also involve Pennsylvania, because a lot of the deaths in Pennsylvania are in the Philadelphia area. And Illinois is a little bit further west, but they've got 82 and they've got a big outbreak in Cook County Jail, so that, you know, a population that's ripe for rapid spread, and they haven't sure. even tested everybody there. So right. that would help account for those deaths. And so because of those numbers, this is going to continue in these bigger cities, which are kind of known hotspots, and those numbers are going up. And so the deaths in the U.S. will continue to go up for the near term. And some of those are trailing what had happened, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago when the admissions were going up and the numbers were doubling, you know, every 2 to 3 days or so. The admissions have gone down a little bit, but the cases that went in then are now dying, and they're kind of pushing those numbers up. And then the same thing is happening with the cases. The cases are still going up pretty dramatically. That today, New Jersey had 3,000 new cases. Michigan had 1,300. Massachusetts had almost 1,600. Pennsylvania had 1,700. Illinois.
The curve sounds very healthy to me, Henry, from what you're saying.
Yeah, it is. I mean, New York had 10,000. They've gotten up to 11,000. So that one might be flattening. The others are going up. And then there's a similar that, except at a lower number in some of these rural areas in the South in particular. And so, the issue there is that they don't really have the infrastructure. I mean, they're having cases now, in hospitals that, don't have any, ventilators. And so they have
zero.
To kind of airlift
those cases
out.
There are some hospitals
out.
That have no ventilators. I didn't know.
Correct.
That.
Correct. And I mean, these are in rural areas in the South. They're probably, many of them are.
They probably don't have any masks either. Bandanas and trash bags.
the masks still, continue to find amazing because, like I said, the masks are not that hard to make. You know, they're not an exotic design.
And we should be making them 24 hours a day.
And they're not expensive. I mean, they used to be like, you know, 70 cents a piece or something for N95. So it's
right.
kind of like, it's not a big expenditure. These are, to make millions of masks isn't that big a deal, and they can do some.
Don't remember reading about
up.
Him ordering any such production, except one company, and that's it.
Yeah,
he should have ordered 20
right,
companies
right.
to make masks, for God's sake.
Right,
this is,
right,
this is
because
despicable.
It isn't that hard, and they knew about this. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's trying to deflect all this, and Navarro told him that there might be a problem in early January. The CDC said that they were looking into PPE supply chain. And they said that, I should look it up. They said that at least 6 weeks ago. It might have been two sure. months ago. So they knew 2 months ago that there were supply chain issues. And that's when Trump could have just kind of ordered companies to start making these. I mean, making masks isn't that big of a deal. The PPEs, the gowns, they're cloth. There's nothing exotic about them. They just have to make them.
Not in any way, shape, or form.
And it's just totally ignored it until, you know, it got to the point where all of a sudden these projections indicated that the numbers were going up dramatically. The healthcare workers didn't have the proper PPEs. It's kind of like third world country, you know, and of course then they start getting infected, and then they start having personnel issues because they don't have enough personnel. The EMTs are infected, the police are infected, and a lot of this simply is that they didn't really have the right equipment. And it's I mean, you read about this in Western Africa and Ebola outbreaks where they didn't have enough gloves and they didn't have the right PPEs.
Exactly.
And all the HEWs were getting infected.
Yep.
And it's like the United States of America can't make a mask. I mean, give me a break. That is just gross mismanagement. No vision. And there still is no vision. I mean, all it is well, let's see, what can we say we sent out today? We sent out 100,000 of these and 100,000 of those. And we're not going to talk about the ones that, you know, they had ventilators and they had to get a contract to basically do the maintenance on them or something along those lines. And they haggled over the contract. And by the time they came to an agreement, the ventilators were no longer usable. And so they basically took ventilators they already had and let them fade away because they couldn't come to an agreement on a maintenance contract. I mean, that's the high right before a pandemic. And this is the National Reserve. Yeah, it's so bad.
You just can't believe this is going on. Did you see the story I had earlier? I may have sent it to you. I'm not sure, but the earliest intelligence briefings of Trump and the White House about this loose coronavirus in Wuhan, China, occurred last November.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, U.S. intelligence warned Trump of cataclysmic coronavirus crisis, but impeachment was dominating the headlines, so nobody reported it. All right. The highest level of U.S. intelligence reported and described the coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan last November, and Trump knew about it then.
Well, it was in the news in mid-December. I mean, it was in the rumor category, but intelligence would be able
to know what was
rumor and what was fact, right?
Of course.
Right. So the media reports had described it. And they even described how many people there were. I mean, there were 59 cases, and they had this mystery disease that had atypical pneumonia, and there were some rumors that it was a novel coronavirus. And then it was pretty much nailed down, by the end of December, beginning of January, and the sequence came out like a week after that. So it was, early January, it was public knowledge that it was a novel coronavirus. It was causing atypical pneumonia. It was in China, and it was at least the patients were linked to a wet market.
Henry, we did our first special broadcast on exactly that on January the 8th. We knew it was out there. You put it out there.
By January 8th, there was no doubt about it. It was definitely a coronavirus. It was definitely novel, and it was kind of a rerun of 2002, including kind of covering it up and saying that it wasn't arresting people. I mean, they have a history of arresting people that are blowing the whistle. Of course, we seem to have something similar to that too. But in any event, it was a rerun, and it certainly caused problems in 2002, and it turned out that this was much worse, and it was. It was pretty clear that it was going to get worse within a couple of weeks of that. I mean, still in January, it was clear that this had all the markings of being something more dire than SARS. Because SARS, as I had mentioned in some of those earlier broadcasts, It started out slowly, that in November and December, you know, it was in the rumor category, it was spreading, you kind of needed a super spreader, and it was infecting a lot of people, but there weren't that many deaths. By February, there'd only been something like 5 deaths. And then it was after the Metropole Hotel, and it was a new version of the virus, which is got parallels with this Italian strain, that he had a little bit of a difference in the virus, and it was more virulent. And then that started causing a lot of problems. And so there were a lot more problems caused by the Italian strain than there was the original strain. The original Wuhan strain caused problems in Wuhan and, you know, started to cause problems in other cities in China. But the adjacent countries, especially by the numbers the U.S. is generating today, look, you know, almost insignificant. You know, they had a couple cases here, a couple cases there. They got up to maybe 100 cases here and 100 cases there, most of which were mild, and the people weren't even hospitalized, or if they were hospitalized, it was really just for kind of quarantining reasons. They weren't dying. The deaths were in China. There weren't that many deaths in these other countries initially. And it was much more easily managed. And then it was the version that showed up in Europe and started spreading there that it became alarming, because it just took off. I mean, I brought this up before, but it's worth repeating that Spain didn't have any cases. You know, they had two cases on two islands. You know, they went on the Canary Islands, one on Mallorca.
Mallorca was the
and
other
that
one,
was right? It wasn't two clusters. It was two cases. I mean, these were individual cases that were done by tourists that were basically passing through. And those were the only two cases that they had, and both of those cases were mild. And then all of a sudden, I mean, now they're you know, near the top of the list as far as Spain is concerned. They've had almost 15,000 deaths and almost 150,000 cases now. From, you know, two that were reported. Now of course, They had more than those two that were reported. They just weren't testing them, but they were there. And then when, you know, others started saying, oh, we're getting positives of people that had been to northern Italy, then they started looking at those that were symptomatic and had been to northern Italy, and they started coming up with their positives. So in any event, you know, the way it's shaping up, it's not clear how much of a dip there's going to be over the summer, whether it's going to go down a lot, whether it's going to just kind of hang around. The numbers are so high that you could see it hanging around. And then that's kind of devastating, because this European Italian strain is concentrated on the East Coast, but it's not limited to the East Coast. It's starting to show up in Washington State. It's present in Alaska. You know, it's in Texas. It's in Florida. And, you know, if it's got an advantage, it's going to start becoming more common in each of those areas. And then it's got this whole issue in the rural areas that, you know, it starts out slow.
We don't even hear about those. No.
But you can look at them, and they're starting to show up. I mean, I'm following each of the states in some of these, especially in the last week or so. The number of deaths are starting to go up in Alabama. And, you know, they've already been going up. You know, we mentioned Louisiana and starting to take off now in Florida. But it's going to be all throughout the South. And it's going to include these rural areas. There's one in Georgia they've got, I think they've got like 70 deaths or so. That started with two funerals there. They were both in the same town, and they were both, I guess, fairly well attended. And then a lot of the people that went to that funeral ended up developing symptoms. And then they started ending up with quite a few deaths, and that I think had the highest per capita rate in the country. You know, because they at the time they were around 30 deaths, and now I think they're closer to 60 or 70 deaths. And it's not a big town; it's a fairly small town, and it's in Georgia. But that's an example that. That's kind of how it started in New York. I mean, New York didn't have that many cases a month ago or so. I mean, it started with the one case in New Rochelle and one imported case. And then all of a sudden there were a few cases that seemed to be community spread, and they decided they were going to boost up their testing, and they went up, they said they were going to do 10,000 tests a day. And it took a little while before they got up to that speed. I mean, it wasn't that long. It took maybe a week or so. But once they started collecting, you know, doing 10,000 tests, then the numbers started to go up, you know, pretty quickly. And then it's kind of where it is, where the New York State has more cases than any country in the world besides the U.S.
Wow.
You know, they've got New York, it's got 150,000 cases now. And, so that's how much Spain has. And Spain is number two behind the U.S. So in any event, it's going to be a problem because it's growing, and then I think the problem is going to get compounded based on what Trump had tweeted out, and you know he's talking about withholding money from WHO now. It's their fault, right? I mean, he's got intelligence agencies that are giving him the number. I mean, we control WHO. It's not like it's not like if they knew it. It wasn't that we had to wait for a public announcement. And in fact, everybody knew it when they made their announcement. And that was long before Trump was still calling it a hoax. You know, but the sensei said,
that was
oh,
February
it's really
the 28th.
Not that bad. It's not that bad. It's kind of like the flu. People die
That's Jerry
from the
Kushner.
Flu all the time.
That's the Kushner-Trump presidency.
More people die in automobile accidents, and it's just that crazy kind of talk. Like he has no idea what an infectious disease is, and no idea what a pandemic is. And he still doesn't have any idea what a pandemic is because he thinks he can just forget about it. He thinks to go back.
Well, that
to
quote
work,
you read at the beginning was pretty astonishing when you think about it.
If
you can pull that up again, read it again. I really want people to hear this. See if you can find it.
Okay. Yeah, I got it here. It says, once we hear all caps, open up our great country, back to lowercase, and it will be sooner rather than later. The horror of the invisible enemy, capital E, except for those that sadly lost a family member or friend, must be quickly forgotten. I mean, he's giving you an order to forget about it. If you follow his order and you forget about that virus, no problem. You don't need any medications. You don't need antivirals. Just get to work. Nothing to worry about. You can forget about it. Our economy will boom, all caps, perhaps like never before. Three exclamation marks. And so he proclaimed the virus is verboten. You know, don't talk about it. Don't think about it. It's gone. If you don't talk about it, you don't have a problem.
Wow. He's amazing.
Because
yeah,
he said
incredible.
So. Because he didn't say so. He tweeted it. It's in writing. Yeah. So
that's even more powerful than saying it, by the way.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. He thinks he can talk his way out of this, and he can talk to the virus. The virus is going to behave. It's going to listen to you. It's going to go away. And if you don't think about it, you won't get infected. You know, you
he's hustling everybody like he's done his whole life. He's a hustler. That's all it is.
Right, right. But now he's in a category where it's beyond that. He thinks other people are going to listen to this and believe it. And I mean, there's some people, he's probably right. But the virus doesn't matter how many times he tweets. Or what he tweets. The virus can't read. He can go and say, you know, no virus allowed. He can put signs up on the border. He can go and it isn't going to matter. The virus knows how to get around. It's already here. You know, he's already tried closing the door after the horse was out of the barn. He tried that with China. He tried that with Europe. When he did that, it was a joke. I mean, there was, and then he's going to close borders like with Canada. I mean, there's a lot more virus here than there is in Canada. And there's a lot more virus here than there is in Mexico. So he's going and reducing activity there. And people aren't coming to the U.S. They're trying to get out of the U.S. if anything. And like I say,
trying to get out of Wuhan
more,
too, by the way. Lots of
there's
them.
There's more virus here than there is any place on the planet, and by a large margin, and increasing at a very high rate. I mean, it's like we're triple the closest country. We're triple Spain, and most of the other countries aren't even. You know, some of the countries in Europe are close. The countries in Asia are nowhere near these levels. I mean, China officially has got, you know, 83,000. They've been at 80-something thousand for a long time. But there's nobody else from Asia on the list. I mean, everybody on the list is from Europe. And even Brazil has more cases than South Korea now. I mean, South Korea's got 10,000 cases. Russia's officially got 8,000. You know, I don't believe that either. But the Japan's got less than 5,000 cases. You know,
what are they doing, ladies and gentlemen?
Pakistan's got 4,000.
Our leadership is not. All right, here, I've got to do this. We all know that Trump speaks in fragments. He doesn't speak in full sentences. He doesn't apparently have the same defects that Joe Biden does. Joe Biden just says words that have no meaning at all many times. Trump and Hannity got together for an interview last night. These are the 24 most wildly irresponsible lines from Donald Trump's latest interview with Sean Hannity. All right, here you go. These are quotes now. So, you know, things are happening. I haven't seen bad. I have not seen bad, said Donald Trump. And then he said, and I was excoriated by the fake news and by the press, by these people that are bad people. They're just bad people. They cannot love our country. I can tell you. He said that. And he said, once you get it, I mean, if you're in the wrong group, if you have a medical condition, if you're older, it seems that older is certainly prime time for this plague, this horrible virus. End quote. There's another one. I mean, you look at what's going on with the hospitals in New York and New Jersey. I was watching a little while ago, and it's terrible, a terrible thing. End quote. Here's another one. We have to get our country back open again. This wasn't designed to have this. This wasn't designed to have this. You crack it. You crack it in half. It's no good. End quote. Okay, and it goes on from there. We'll put this up later. It's amazing to hear the idiocy coming out of this man's mouth. The lies, the deceit. That's exactly what it is. It's lies and deceit.
That's why I say it's hard to listen to the press conference.
I admire you.
He repeats the same thing over and over again. And it's the same thing he said the day before and the day before and the day before.
Right.
So it's the same phrases. You know, they're fragmented like the ones you just read. And they kind of say the same things over and over and over. And it goes on for like 2 hours like that. So it's kind of like,
well, it's
you're
all
waiting
ego
for this little nugget to come out of something that's new. And all you hear is this old stuff. And it's just pure propaganda that makes zero sense. It didn't make any sense. No matter how many times he says it in a 1 or 2 minute segment, he says it 3-4 times, or how many days in a row he says it. And he literally says some of these things every day. And it's just filling in space. So anyway, the numbers are going to continue going up. U.S. will be number one on deaths probably by this weekend. And it's just remarkable that we're kind of separated by two large oceans, and we've got a virus from Asia and Europe, and we got more of it than anybody in Asia or Europe.
Yeah, really amazing.
Or the rest of the world. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Very good, Henry. Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye bye.
Okay, that's our report for you tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Be well. Stay healthy. If you're not healthy, try to get healthy. Doesn't take much. A little mental resolve. Buying better food. All right. Talk to you tomorrow. Take care.